Well, please turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24. And this evening we shall be reading verses 13 to 35. Luke has just recorded that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And now we come to this well-known passage of him walking with two other disciples on the road to Emmaus. Let us hear the word of the Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. It is the Sunday of Jesus' resurrection, and two of his disciples are walking to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they are talking with each other about all that has happened, and there could only have been one subject of conversation on their lips, and that was what had happened to Jesus, his crucifixion. And as they're talking, Jesus himself draws up alongside them, And he begins to walk with them. But, we're told in verse 16, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They don't see that it is Jesus who is with them. At this point, God keeps them from seeing that it is the risen Lord Jesus who is walking with them on the road. Their eyes have not as yet been opened to this fact. And so their journey with Jesus to Emmaus begins. And as we, so to speak, walk with them this evening, I want us to observe three particular things from our passage. The first of which is this, that on the journey to Emmaus we see dashed hope, confusion, and sadness. That is what these two disciples are feeling, experiencing as they set out on their journey. They are feeling dashed hope, confusion, and sadness. Jesus' conversation with these disciples begins when he asks them what they're talking about in verse 17, and they both stop and they look sad, and soon we discover why they are sad. One of them, Cleopas, is surprised, to say the least, that this man who has started walking with them doesn't know what they're discussing. He says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" You can hear the surprise, the astonishment in his voice. And then at Jesus' prompting, he goes on to explain the things that they are talking about. They said to Jesus, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. And here we see why Cleopas and his friend are so very sad. They are sad because they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel, to save the nation, to save the people. They had hoped that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They had hoped that he was the fulfillment of centuries of messianic expectation. That was their great hope and great expectation. But now, the one in whom they had invested all of their hope and expectation has been crucified. He has died the most ignominious death imaginable. He has been held up as a condemned criminal. Yes, he was, as they say, a mighty prophet, mighty in deed and in word, but now he is dead. And, as it seems to them, with his death, so all of their hopes have died as well. Dashed hope. That is what these disciples are experiencing as they begin their journey on the road to Emmaus. That is why they are so very sad. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But clearly, he wasn't. And in addition to the sadness of dashed hope, these disciples are also perplexed. They go on to explain that some women went to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, but they didn't find his body. Instead, apparently, they saw a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. And then some other disciples had also been to the tomb, but like the women, they hadn't seen Jesus' body either. And Cleopas and his friend are therefore confused. They're perplexed. They're mystified. They're they're not sure what could have happened to Jesus' body. They're not sure how to make sense of what the women and the other disciples have said. And at this point, it certainly doesn't appear as if they think that Jesus might actually have been raised from the dead. And we note in the text, therefore, that there is this biting irony in what Cleopas and his friend are saying. They are saying the women and the other disciples haven't seen Jesus. They haven't seen his body. And right before them is standing Jesus in his now resurrected and glorified body, but they don't see him. Their eyes have not been opened. As far as they are concerned, Jesus has been crucified, he is dead, and that's it. That's the end of the matter. Because they haven't yet seen that Jesus has risen, they have lost hope. They are sad, they are confused. And this is the experience that is very common, I think, to those who haven't seen the risen Jesus. In other words, to those who don't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. Feelings of hopelessness, confusion, sadness. Those are the sorts of feelings that are relatively common to those who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see a lot of that in the Western world today. For all of the great riches that we enjoy, there is this very palpable lack of hope amongst so many people who live in our particular culture. There is, in addition to that, real confusion about what is true and what is real and what is good. There is amongst many a dreadful sadness. And I know that there are many reasons for this, but it seems to me that one of the main reasons is because people just haven't seen the risen Lord Jesus. People do not believe that Christ has been raised from the dead. And if you have no certain hope that there is a resurrection from the dead, that there is life beyond the grave, then that is going to lead to a certain degree of hopelessness, of sadness, of confusion. Because it's only really in knowing the risen Lord Jesus that dashed hope becomes fulfilled hope. And unsettling confusion is replaced with strong certainty. And dreadful sadness is overcome with glorious joy. People need to know the risen Lord Jesus. They need to see that Jesus Christ, who died, has now been raised from the grave. That is, in the end, the only basis of hope, of joy, and of certainty. So the first thing we see on our journey with these disciples as they travel to Emmaus is dashed hope, sadness, and confusion. But the second thing we see is this. And this is where things begin to change. The second thing we see is the best ever Bible study. The best ever Bible study. Cleopas and his friend are sad and hopeless. They don't know what to make of the women's and the other disciples' story about the disappearance of Jesus' body. They are confused and perplexed. And at this point, Jesus speaks very firmly to them. He says in verse 25, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" You see here that Jesus is admonishing these disciples. He's doing so in love, of course, but nonetheless he is admonishing them for being foolish, for being slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And what Jesus is referring to there is what we call the Old Testament, the Scriptures. And what is it that they haven't believed? What is it that they haven't seen in the prophets, in the Scriptures? What they haven't seen is that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to be glorified. What they haven't seen is that Jesus' death, in other words, was not a tragic accident, but rather part of God's plan, his plan that he had revealed very clearly in the scriptures. A plan that wasn't hidden away in the secret counsel of the divine, but one that he had revealed progressively throughout the scriptures. What they had failed to see and believe is that Jesus had to die. It was necessary for him as the Messiah to die. And therefore that his death, far from proving that he wasn't the Messiah, was actually strong proof that he was. That is what they had failed to see. And in addition to that, these disciples should then have been expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. They shouldn't have been without hope. They shouldn't have been gloomy and sad. They should have been full of hope, knowing that Jesus, having suffered, would then enter his glory. That is the entire shape and dynamic of the whole Old Testament, death and resurrection, suffering and glory. That is exactly what the prophetic scriptures taught. In other words, the problem that these disciples faced wasn't so much that they couldn't see the risen Jesus standing before them. Actually, their problem was that they couldn't see the crucified and risen Jesus in the scriptures. That was their real problem. Their eyes had not at this point been opened to the clear testimony of the scriptures that the Christ must suffer and then enter into his glory, that he must die and then be raised. That was their big problem. And so what does Jesus do? Well, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What does Jesus do? He gives them a Bible study. He didn't actually have a Bible in his hand, I imagine, but it's as if he said, now, let's have a look at the Bible and let's see what the scriptures say. And that must have been the best ever Bible study. Just imagine having Jesus walking you through the scriptures, showing to you from all of the Old Testament the things concerning himself. Explaining to you that everything pointed to his death and his resurrection. That must have been amazing. It's all about me. All of these prophecies, all of these stories, all of this wisdom, it's all about me in the end. My death and my resurrection. It must have been wonderful to have had Jesus explaining that and showing that to these disciples. And it's just worth emphasizing the point that Jesus helps and comforts and encourages these sad, hopeless, and confused disciples. How? By opening up God's word to them. That's how he helps them. It's significant, I think, that he doesn't say to them, it's me, here I am, touch me, I've now been raised from the dead. He doesn't say that. The risen Lord Jesus Christ still submits to the scriptures, to the word of God. And that's where he takes them. He gives them a Bible study. Because he knows that is the thing that is going to help them most. And he says, as he opens up God's word to them, here I am in the Bible. And surely Jesus does that because he wants the faith of these two disciples, their faith in him as the risen Christ, to be based not on what they see with their physical eyes, but on what they see in the scriptures, He wants them to see him in the Bible and for their faith to be founded on that special revelation of God in the scriptures. And this is such an important lesson for us to take to heart. Where do we see Jesus? Where do we see the risen Lord Jesus in all of his glory and grace? Do we see him in a vision? Do we see him in a dream? No, we see him in the scriptures. This is his revelation to us. This is his great gift to us. This is where we see the Lord Jesus, in the written text of the inspired Bible. And we see him everywhere. We see him in all the scriptures. That's what it says in verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures. We don't know exactly what passages Jesus went to, or if he was just giving a sort of overview. But here we learn that we don't just see him in Isaiah 53 or in Psalm 22. We see him in all the books of Moses. We see him in all the books of the prophets. We see him in all the books of the writings as well. The great message of the Old Testament, quite apart from the New, is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, therefore, is where you go when you are feeling hopeless. This is where you go when you are confused and needing direction. This is where you go when you are sad and cast down and discouraged. You go to the scriptures, to the teaching and to the testimony. For it's in the scriptures that you will see Jesus crucified and risen for you. And in seeing him, your soul is blessed. So that's the second thing that we see on our journey to Emmaus. We see the best ever Bible study. Jesus taking these sad, confused, and hopeless disciples to the scriptures and saying, "Here I am." Then the third and final thing we see is the joy of opened eyes. Jesus and these two disciples finally reach Emmaus. And it looks like Jesus is going to carry on in his journey. And so Cleopas and his friend urge him in verse 29 to stay with them. It's towards evening and the day is now far spent. So come in and stay with us. They want to be with this man. They don't yet know who it is, but clearly they've been gripped by this man's teaching. They've been mesmerized by his ability to open up the word of God to them. And so Jesus stays. And then we read in verse 30 that when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they'd recognized him and he vanished from their sight. Now, finally, they see who has been walking and talking with them all this time. Now their eyes have been opened to see the risen Lord Jesus. And whether this happened over just an ordinary meal, or whether it happened when Jesus shared the sacrament of the Lord's Supper with them, it's a point of debate. And I still don't know what I think, to be honest with you, whether this was just an ordinary meal or was the sacrament. I'm not entirely sure. But the key point is that now these disciples' eyes have been opened. Now they see Jesus. God had kept them from recognizing Jesus when they started out on their journey. They didn't know it was him that drew up alongside them. Their eyes were kept by God from recognizing him. But now, by his Spirit, God gives them eyes to see. And so finally, they see the risen Lord. But immediately, Jesus vanishes from their sight. He doesn't hang around once they've finally seen him. And again, surely this is because he wants them to live by faith, not by sight. He's only going to be on earth bodily for another few more weeks. And then he's not going to be with them again bodily. He'll be with them by his Spirit and in his Word, and he wants their faith to be based upon his Word. He wants them to see him with the eyes of faith, faith that is founded on the Bible. And Cleopas and his friend have been transformed by their journey with Jesus. They say in verse 32, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Their hearts were transformed by Jesus taking them to the scriptures, by opening up and expounding the scriptures to them. This is what changed them. This is what flooded their hearts with burning joy. It was the scriptures. It was the exposition of the scriptures. Jesus teaching them the Word of God, giving them eyes to see him in the Word of God. This is what transformed their hearts. And the wonderful news for us this evening is that Jesus still speaks today. We will never have an experience quite like the one that these two disciples had on the road to Emmaus. In many ways, we'll have a better one, because it is to our advantage that the Spirit of Christ has come to us. And Jesus Christ, the exalted Lord, who reigns on high, still speaks to you, to his beloved people today. He does so by his Spirit, through his Word, continually, week by week, throughout the week, opening up to us the riches of the scriptures. Why? So that we may see him. That's surely your desire, to see Jesus. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That should be our desire, to see Jesus, to gaze upon his beauty. For there is no more joyful experience. There is nothing more exhilarating, more thrilling, than to have your eyes open to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in the scriptures. There's nothing like it. And so when you come to church to hear the preaching of the word of Christ your Lord, or when you are in a Bible study with friends, or when you are doing your own Bible reading, you should pray something like this: "Lord, open my eyes that I may see you and gaze upon your beauty. Open my eyes that I may behold you in all of your grace and truth. Lord, make my heart burn within me as you do so." Cleopas and his friend were sad and hopeless when they started out on their journey. But then Jesus came up to them and walked with them and opened up the scriptures to them. And he gave them eyes to see him. And what was the result? All of their sadness, all of their hopelessness, all of their confusion vanished, to be replaced with joy and with strong hope. And as we come to a close this evening, what is it that we see them doing next as we draw towards the end of our passage? We see them, verse 33, rising that same hour and returning to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Bear in mind, Cleopas and his friend had just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a fairly long walk. Would take a couple of hours, I guess. They'd be pretty tired. And by this point, it's dark. A lot of reasons existed for them to just stay where they were. But they just had to get back to Jerusalem. They just had to be with the other disciples. They just had to share the good news of what had happened to them. And when they get back to Jerusalem, they hear the other disciples saying that Jesus has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. And so here we see all of these believers, not many of them, but all of these believers gathered together on that first resurrection Sunday, gathered together, sharing the good news that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead, gathered together, rejoicing in the risen Lord Jesus. That is what these believers were doing on that first resurrection Sunday. And 2,000 years later, this is exactly what we do every time we gather together for our worship services. When we gather together on a Sunday, on the day of resurrection, we gather to do what? We gather to share the good news that Jesus our Lord has risen from the dead. We gather together to rejoice in him, the one who for our sake defeated death and sin and who now reigns on high over all things. And don't you find that you just have to be here? Where else would you rather be on a Sunday than at church, gathered with your brothers and sisters, worshipping the risen Lord Jesus? There's no better place for us to be. This is where together we meet with and behold Jesus Christ. He has risen. That is what these two disciples on the road to Emmaus came to see, that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Have you come to see this? If not, then pray that you would and come to church. Sit under the preaching of God's word and pray that God, by his Spirit, would open your eyes to see Jesus. He will answer that prayer. All who seek him will find him. He doesn't hide himself from those who genuinely seek him. And in fact, to be more accurate, he is the one who comes to you as he did with these two disciples, who were sad and hopeless and confused. He, as it were, saw them and said, I've got to be with them. I've got to walk with them. I've got to be alongside them. I've got to open up the scriptures to them. I love them so much. And that's what he does with us Sunday by Sunday. He says, I've got to be with my people. We've got to be here. And there's a very real sense in which Jesus himself feels that. I've got to be with my people, walking with them. And when you meet with Jesus Sunday by Sunday in particular, then you will find increasingly that your heart burns within you as well. Amen.